June 30th marks the one-year anniversary of the return of Issues Etc., and we'd like to celebrate this milestone with you. You're invited to an open house at the studio and office of Lutheran Public Radio beginning Tuesday afternoon at 4 on June the 30th. Food, friendship, and fun. RSVP to Craig at issuesetc.org. We hope to see you here in Collinsville, Illinois on Tuesday, June the 30th. RSVP to Craig at issuesetc.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. It's time to pick our blog posts of the week. Jeff and I are always reading blogs every day. We got a list of blogs that all bear the Issues Etc. widget. If you want your blog to have the Issues Etc. widget, therefore to draw our attention so we can read it every week, just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click promote. You'll find the widget there and instructions on how to attach it to your blog. When you have it attached, just email us at talkback@issuesetc.org. Let us know what your blog is, where it is, and we'll start reading it. And we pick one a week. Jeff picks his, I pick mine, and then we post them at our website for everyone to read, issuesetc.org. What's your pick?
I'm back.
I know, it's amazing. He's up out of that chair just like a cat, restless like a cat.
I was just checking to see if the toilet seats were still up at LPR.
You know, someone came to visit the studio this last week. Was it this week? We had a lot of people in and out of the studio. Someone, we don't know who, we're not going to name names, came through, visited, and when they left, the toilet seat, Craig noticed, was down. Which is a major faux pas around here.
I think it
was
the guy that came to fix our lights.
Oh, Smiley?
Smiley.
Happy?
Yeah, nice guy.
Yeah, the guy that's been fixed. We had a terrible buzz out in one of the lights out there, and the fellow who came by to do the maintenance, he was I'll tell you what, he was a ray of sunshine. I didn't talk to him, but I could just tell.
Even Craig, who can talk to anybody, had a hard time making conversation.
He could
with
not
the
crack
gent.
That nut. There was no doubt about it. I mean, Craig, I've seen Craig. I've been around. Craig and I went around Collinsville the other day, scoping out some venues for the 1 year anniversary return to try and find the right room and everything. He's in there. He's charming. He's shaking hands. He knows this guy. He knows that guy. I mean, he's making the scene wherever he goes. Wherever he goes, here I am, just standing there like a mope with my hands in my pockets. And you're right. Even Mr. Charm himself, he couldn't make a dent in that poor guy. I don't know.
You know what I call Craig? The mayor. Just the mayor.
Craig the mayor, especially in Collinsville. He holds court in Collinsville. That's
what are
sure.
we supposed to, blog of the week? Is that what we're doing
That's
here?
What we're doing.
My blog of the week, Southern Lutheran Cantor. It's a blog post titled On Hymnody. Hymns bring our great theology to the whole congregation. While not everyone reads the Lutheran confessions or theological treatises, how do you pronounce that?
Treatises?
Sounds good to me. By being in church, they get a large helping of solid theology. Good hymnody is important because people will eventually learn what they sing. If they sing, "This is the air I breathe," or "Shine, Jesus, shine," that is what they'll learn. There is more orthodox theology in one stanza of a hymn like "Awake My Heart with Gladness" than in all the songs sung during a contemporary service. The topic is important because just as bad theology is dangerous, bad hymnody is also dangerous. The words people sing will take root in their hearts and minds. What seeds are being planted by the hymns sung in your church? And just remember, Arius spread his heresy by using music. It can be a powerful tool, both for good and evil. My pick for blog of the week, Southern Lutheran Cantor.
And by the way, I think that's a brand new addition to the list of Issues Etc. blogs. I think it came in just this week, just added the widget this week. So it goes to show that when you do add it, we do start reading them. My pick comes from a blog called From One We Can Judge the Rest. It's a recent post called Brilliant Words from C.P. Krauth on the Schizophrenic Nature of the Anglican Church. Now, I read this. Krauth, an old Lutheran, the best in the best possible sense of the phrase, was writing about the Anglican Church and the Episcopal Church, but to me it sounded an awful lot like he was talking about the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod today. The conservatism of the Lutheran Reformed exalted over all pure doctrine as the divine presupposition of a pure life, and this led to an ample and explicit statement of the faith. While the Church of England stated doctrines so that men understood its utterances in different ways, the Lutheran Church, or at least the Lutheran Church of the past, I would say, tried to state them so that men could accept them in but one sense. But if one expression was found inadequate for this, she gave another. The Lutheran Church has her Book of Concord, the most explicit confession ever made in Christendom. The Church of England has her 39 Articles, the least explicit among the official utterances of the churches of the Reformation. Here is how Crowell thins. This is what I think applies so beautifully to the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod today. True compromise can only sacrifice preference to secure principles. The only compromise which seems possible in the Anglican churches, or, I would say, the LCMS of today, would be one which would sacrifice principles to secure preferences. And nothing can be less certain of permanence than preferences thus secured. That's my blog pick of the week. It's a quote from C.P. Crowth and the Conservative Reformation. The blog is called From One We Can Judge the Rest. We'll have both of these posted at our website tonight, issuesetc.org.